إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي أبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah, this is going to be a continuation of the explanation of the book Muntaq al-Akhbar by Sheikh Majduddin Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah. When Abbad bin Tamim and Amni أنه رأى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مستلقيا في المسجد واضعا إحدى رجليه على الأخرى متفق عليه. From Abbad, the son of Tamim, from his uncle, he said that he saw the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم lying down في المسجد in the mosque. وَاضِعًا إِحْدَى رِجْلَيْهِ عَلَى الْأُخْرَى placing one of his two legs on the other one. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ, this is agreed upon. This hadith tells us that there is nothing wrong in resting in the masjid. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting in the masjid. As you can see from these hadith, he rested in the masjid, placing one of his two legs on the other. When Abdullah ibn Umar, from Abdullah, the son of Umar, أَنَّهُ كَانَ يَنَامُ وَهُوَ شَابٌ عَذَبٌ لَا أَهْلَ لَهُ فِي مَسْجِدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ Abdullah, the son of Umar, said he would sleep why he was a huge azabun on marriage, la ahla lahu, not having family, fi masjid Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the mask of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is, he will sleep in the mosque of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why he was still a huge, not married and without a family. That is, he had not got married, he had not had his own family, so he would sleep in the masjid. This tells us there is nothing wrong in sleeping in the masjid as long as watch is contained in the masjid, is taken proper care of, and there is no stealing of the property of the masjid. وقال البخاري, الإمام البخاري عليه رحمة الله said, وقال أبو قلابة عن أنس, أبو قلابة said, from Anas, قدم رهة من عقل على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. A people from the tribe of عقل came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَكَانُوا فِي الصُّفَّةِ. So they were staying in the Suffa. The Suffa is a place that is carved out somehow in the masjid. So like it has a kind of covering. So they will stay there. وَقَالَ قَالَ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ بِنْ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ, the son of Abu Bakri, said, كَانَ أَصْحَابُ الصُّفَّةِ الْفُقَرَاءِ. The Ashab al-Kuffa, Ashab al-Suffa, the people staying in Suffa are the fuqara, are the poor people. When Aisha qalat, Usiba Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh yawm al-Khandaq. Sa'ad, the son of Mu'adh, was wounded in the battle of Khandaq, that is Ghazwatul Ahzab, the battle where the enemies came together in order to attack the Muslims in Medina. So this led to the digging of a trench. That's why they refer to it as Ghazwatul Khandaq, and it is called Ghazwatul Ahzab because the Kuffar, they came together in order to fight the Muslims. So this is called Ghazwatul Ahzab and Ghazwatul Al-Khandaq, because the Muslims dug a trench in order to protect themselves, in order to prevent the Kuffar from entering Medina. So in this battle, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, so one of the leaders of the house, was injured. وَرَمَاهُ رَجُلٌ مِنْ قُرَيْشِ. A man from Quraysh fired an arrow at him. يُقَالُ لَهُ, and the name of the man is Habban bin Abbad bin al-Arqa fi al-Akhal. So he fired this arrow or spear at him fi al-Akhal. Al-Akhal, this is the vein. This vein is called al-Akhal. And if you look at it, you see the middle one is called the Akhal. So if somebody has this cut or has this cut, the person, you know, really survives. So the companion was wounded there and blood was gushing out seriously. So the vein was cut. So this is called what? Al-Akhal. Al-Akhal. Now the word akhal can also be the sifat mushabba of kahila yakhalu akhal, that is for somebody's eyes to have a kind of kuhl, to have a kuhl. So the person said to the akhal, why the male, the female will be called what? Kahla. But akhal here is a noun. I mean, this one here is a noun. It's referring to what? A vein, the middle vein in what? In the lower arm. So this is called what? Akhal. So in the past, I can say of today, but in the past, if somebody had a cut, that person hardly survived. So Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu was being treated in the masjid of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he had this injury, when he was wounded. One of the Quraysh fired an arrow or so at him in that area. Now, فضرب عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خيمة في المسجد. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم pitched a tent for him in the masjid. ليعوده من قريب. So that he will visit him soon. Huh? That he will come and visit him. He will come and go. He will come and go. So that was the reason the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم pitched the tent in the masjid. Now the point here is that this is overlooked. Ordinarily, we have learned that blood should not be allowed to watch to stain the masjid. And that is why it is said that it is not allowed to carry out punishment in the masjid. But in the case of this man, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought further on him and brought him to the masjid where he was being taken care of. Eventually, he died. But the point here is that at times something like this may be allowed. وعن عبد الرحمن بن أبي بكر قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هل منكم أحد أطعم اليوم مسكينا. He said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, is there anyone amongst you that has fed a miskin today, a poor person today? فقال أبو بكر. Abu Bakr said, دَخَلْتُ الْمَسْجِدَ. I entered the masjid. فَإِذَا أَنَا بِسَائِلِ. Suddenly, I saw a beggar. يَسْأَلُ. Asking. فَوَجَدْتُ كِثْرَةَ خُبْزٍ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ. I found a piece of bread in the hand of Abd al-Rahman. فَأَخَذْتُهَا. فَدَفَعْتُهَا إِلَيْهِ. So I took it and gave it to him, that is to the beggar. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu took that little bread from Abd al-Rahman, his son, and gave to the beggar. What does this imply? It implies that you can eat inside the masjid. It implies that you can eat inside the masjid. When Abdullah bin al-Harith called from Abdullah the son of al-Harith, he said, "Kunna na'kulu ala ahli Rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fil masjid al-Khubza wallahna rawah ibn Majah." We used to eat bread and meat inside the mosque during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they would eat inside the masjid, they would sleep inside the masjid, they would rest inside the masjid. At times, a sick person might be allowed to be watched, to be taken care of inside the masjid. So this, though this was not a commonplace, but the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed Fa'an ibn Mu'adh to be watched, to be treated inside the masjid. وَقَدْ ثَبَتَ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَطَرَ ثُمَامَتَ ابن أثال. It has been established that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam captured Thumama, the son of Uthal. فَرُبِقَ بِصَارِيَةٍ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. And he was tied in the masjid to watch to a pillar قَبْلَ إِسْلَامِ, before he embraced Islam. وثبت عنه أنه نثر مالا جاء من البحرين في المسجد وقسمه فيه. It was also established that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم disbursed the wealth that came from البحرين inside the masjid. So he distributed and shared the wealth among the people who were entitled to each inside the masjid. So this shows that we can also give sadaqah in the masjid. We can give people things in the masjid. So the only thing or the things that we cannot do are things that you have mentioned before. Buying and selling inside the masjid announcing of lost item inside the masjid. We said as for the announcement of the found item, the found item inside the masjid, this, if the item is found in the masjid, then one can announce it. But if it is found outside the masjid, so it is not proper to bring it to the masjid to be announced. But to find it inside the masjid, you can announce it inside the masjid according to the wahida opinion, which is the favorite opinion of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen Ali Rahmatullah. So you cannot carry out punishment inside the masjid, whether it is a flogging or the one that involves the stealing of blood. You cannot carry them out inside the masjid, because this will litter the masjid. And we have learned that the masjid is a place that we should take care of, we should not litter it. So this is the summary of what we have learned concerning avoiding distancing the masjid from things that are uncalled for. باب تنزيه قبلة المسجد عما يلهي المصلي. This chapter has to do with trying to distance the masjid, the qibla of the masjid, from what can distract the praying one. وعن أنس قال كان كرام لعائشة قد سترت به جانب بيتها فقال لها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أميتي عني قرانك هذا فإنه لا تزال تصوره تعرض لي في صلاتي. رواه أحمد والبخاري. الإمام أحمد and الإمام البخاري reported that there was إقرام, إقرام, a kind of cutting. Aisha رضي الله عنها had إقرام, a cutting. قَصَّتَرَتْ مِنْ جَانِبَ بَيْتِهَا, with which she had covered what? A side of her house, or her house. فَقَالَ لَا النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَمِيكِ عَنِّي قِرَامَكِ. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, remove your أَمِيكِ عَنِّي قِرَامَكِ, take away Amaqa yumitu, that is azala yuzilu, amiti anni kiramaki, take away your kiram, your cutting from away from me, take away this, your cutting away from me. Fa innahu la tazalu tasawiruhu ta'aridu li fi salati, for its images continue to appear to me in my salah. So which means anything that can distract the praying one should not be allowed to be in front of the praying one. Anything that will distract the attention of the praying one, that will not make the praying one to concentrate in his salah or a salah, we should not allow such a thing to be in it or front. Because the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the tasawir of that qiram, that cutting, continue to appear to him in his salah. وعن عثمان بن طلحة أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دعاه بعد دخول الكعبة. He said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم called him after he had entered الكعبة. قال إني كنت رأيت قرني الكرش حين دخلت البيت فنسيت أن أمرك أن تخمرهما فخمرهما فإنه لا ينبغي أن يكون في قبلة البيت شيء يلهي المصلي. He said of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم called him, he said, when I entered Al-Ka'aba, I saw in it a cornel kapsh, that is two horns of a kapsh, that is إرام. حين دخلت البيت, when I entered the house, that is the Kaaba, I saw 2 urns of إرام. فنسيت أن أترك أن أمرك أن تخمرهما. I forgot to order you to cover them, to cover them. So خمر يخمر, غطى يغطي. And that is why خمر is called خمر, لأنها تغطي العقل, because it covers the brain. It covers the brain when one takes it. So they call it خمر لأنها تخمر العقل, لأنها تغطي العقل. So he said, فنسيت أن أمرك, I forgot to order you, أن تخمرهما, to cover them. فخمرهما, cover them. فإنه لا ينبغي أن يكون في قبلة البيت شيء يلهي المصلي. It is not proper that there is something that distracts the plain one in front of the house, that he is in the qibla of the house, in the qibla of the house, that is the Kaaba. So likewise, the masjid, it is not proper. So it is not proper to have this. So this tells us that when you are going to the masjid, so you go there without having things that you do in her that will distract the attentions of the praying ones. And things that are filthy must not be allowed in the masjid. So we should not make a noise in the masjid. We should not be discussing things that are un-Islamic in the masjid, that is things that are against the deen. When we say un-Islamic, that is that are against the deen. So we should not be singing or reciting poems that are not in line with Islam. When we recite poems that are in line with Islam, there is no harm in this. Though we should not do much of it. You can remember when Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to frown at that, when Affan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu was reciting poetry. So Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to frown at that. So making noises, saying things that are uncalled for, un-Islamic, they should be avoided. It should be avoided. So rather, we should be reciting the Quran. We should be glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be learning the deen, tafsir, hadith, and so on and so forth. Then we take proper care of it, clean it, as a messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, perfuming it, this is also something that is also encouraged. So this is the way we treat the masjid. It's not a place that we litter with filth, or you inject bukus and the likes and rub it against the wall of the masjid, or put it on the floor of the masjid. So many ahadith have taken care of this. So pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us with what we have learned, and may subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who take care of the masjid. نعم. باب لا يخرج من المسجد بعد الأذان حتى يصلي إلا لعذر. The next shatta is that the one who wants to pray, or the one who is in the masjid, should not go out of the masjid بعد الأذان, after the Adhan has been called, حتى يصلي, until he prays, إلا لعذر, except for a genuine reason. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال, أمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded us, إذا كنت في المسجد, when you are in the masjid, فنودي بالصلاة, and the salah is called, that is, the call to the prayer is made. فلا يخرج أحدكم حتى يصلي. None of you should go out of the masjid until a prayer. So one understand that it is haram for anybody to leave the masjid when the adhan is made. And that's why the author says, except if there is what? A necessity or an excuse, a genuine reason. Take for instance, somebody who is in the masjid and the adhan is made. And the person is an imam of a masjid. He goes out of the masjid to go and meet in his own masjid, if his masjid is not far away from that place. Or somebody who has to answer the call of nature. Maybe he wants to urinate or he wants to defecate. He will have to watch. He will have to leave. Or maybe something important happens. Maybe somebody faints, for instance, or somebody slumps, things like that. So one can go out of the masjid when the adhan is made if there is what? A genuine reason. But for one to go out of the masjid when the adhan is made for no genuine reason, this will portray the person as if he does not pray in jama'ah. He's trying to what? Avoid salatul jama'ah. And salatul jama'ah is compulsory on the meals. It's compulsory on the meals as the way. Various opinion is composed on a male. So when a male is in the masjid and the adhan is being made and he goes out of the masjid for no genuine reason, such a person is sinful. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded the companions not to go out of the masjid when the call to prayer is made. One Abi Sha'fa قال خرج رجل المسجد بعدما أذن فيه. أبو شعثاء said a man went out of the masjid after the adhan had been pronounced. فقال أبو أريرة. أبو أريرة who reported that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded them that no one of them should go out of the masjid when the adhan is made until he prays. He said أبو أريرة رضي الله عنه said, Amma hadha, as for this, referring to the man who left the masjid after the call to prayer, فقد عصى أبا القاسم. He has disobeyed, Abu al-Qasim. رواه الجماعة إلا البخاري. The jama'a reported this except al-imam al-Bukhari alayhi wa rahmatullah. So it means that it is a sinful act for you not to observe Salat Jama'ah. At times, when the Adhan is made, and before the Iqama, it says some of us try to watch, leave the masjid with a claim or argument that they have not done Iqama. And as we are going, we are not likely to watch, meet the Salah at the place you are going. So we'll meet it here, I will not meet it at where we are going. And the adhan has been made. If the adhan has not been made, that's a different thing. So we say it is recommended that the person stays, if it's not going to affect his watch, his trip. But when he knows that if he leaves, it's not even likely to get to the place that is going on till the time for that prayer goes out, then in that case, it will be compulsory on him to watch, to stay. Unless if he is going to observe it inside the watch, inside the maybe inside the bus or inside the plane. So, but for the person to allow the salah to go, the time of the salah to go, and he has what the opportunity to pray where the adhan is being made. So this is a sinful act. This is a sinful act. So he should wait maybe some few minutes before the iqama will be before the adhan will be made rather. And if He doesn't wait to pray. He's not likely to have the opportunity to pray where he's going or almost like the boss. So this is what this is important. He said, "What? فَقَدْ عَصَى أَبُو الْقَاسِمِ." We have disobeyed Abu al-Qasim. Who is Abu al-Qasim? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, can we name another person Abu al-Qasim? Scholars differ over this. Some are with the opinion that his watch is peculiar to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he said, تَسَمَّوْ بِسْمِي وَلَا تَكْتَنُوا بِكُنْيَتِي. You can name yourself. You can name yourselves my name. You can give yourself my name. وَلَا تَكْتَنُوا بِكُنْيَتِي. But don't bear my kunya. Don't bear my kunya. So saying Abu al-Qasim, some scholars say this is wrong. Some say this was during his lifetime. After his lifetime, one can be called Abu al-Qasim, because they will not mistake the person for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But during his time, when somebody says Abu al-Qasim at Khan, he may think the person is referring to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, this is the watch, is a good argument, and that's why we have people in the past who we called Abu al-Qasim, that is after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So wallahu a'lam. Inshallah, we stop here. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
When is our chairman of the mosque around and giving the prayer? The brothers are normally called in what we call the family. After they call their man, that is when they start giving.
Why?
I don't know. They will start giving. If the chairman normally leads, if it's around, and not anything is giving is around.
Okay, don't have imam. Don't have imam.
Our imam is.
Okay.
So sometimes, if it's during Zoom, when the students are still around, they will allow them to leave. But once it, let's say, happens, and they call the other, and the chairman of the mosque wants to leave, a lot of them will start leaving.
Well, I think the first thing is to ask them, why are they leaving? So you should ask them, why are they leaving? So maybe they have some things against the imam, which may be genuine and may not be genuine. So maybe the imam has offended them personally, that's why they don't want to pray behind him. So this will be incorrect. But if the imam is somebody who has committed something of kufru or shirk, so and evidence has been established against him, then in that case they shouldn't pray the behind him, be the imam or the chairman or whoever is leading, as long as the person has committed the shirk or kufru and evidence has been established against the person and insist on that. Then people shouldn't pray behind him. So there is this possibility that the brothers would not pray behind the chairman because he would commit shirk and evidence has been established against him. But if they have personal problem with him, that is why they will not pray behind him. They are sinful for that. They are sinful for that. So if they have a genuine reason for not praying behind him, then they are right. They are right. So Allah.
But because of him, the owner of the mosque, the master of the mosque, is Al-Bidah, confirmed. Because of his chairman,
Is he a mosque or school?
It's a mosque.
It doesn't matter if the chairman is one that built the mosque.
No, sorry.
I'm saying even if it is chairman that built the mosque, and he is what, a mushrik kafir, they won't pray behind him. They won't pray behind him. So instead of now living, if he's the imam, and he's a mushrik kafir, instead of going out when he's the one leading, they shouldn't come to the masjid to pray. They should look for a masjid that is safe for their salah, instead of what, causing a kind of issue in the mosque, instead of what, leaving the mosque whenever the chairman is one leading. But if it is the chairman that will lead most of the time, they should avoid coming to the masjid to pray. But if once in a while you'll be the one to lead, so they can still come to the masjid and pray behind the imam or whoever leads, apart from that chairman that is a mushrik kafir. But if the chairman is not a mushrik kafir, rather, the brothers have a kind of dispute with him, it will be wrong of them not to pray behind them. No, not to pray behind him, rather. Wallah.
We
advance
Student commit an act that needs to be punished, and you will punish inside the mosque. You will not be punished inside the mosque. You will be taken out of the mosque.
Now, the question is since you have learned that the masjid is for ta'lim and for ilm, for teaching the knowledge of Islam and for learning the knowledge of Islam. So, if a student commits an offense that warrants him or her being flogged, can they flog him or her in the masjid? I think you've spoken about this before. So this may not really be considered the hudud that they are talking about. This may not be considered the hudud that they are talking about. However, the flogging should not be a serious one that will lead to the child running here and here. But the child can be beaten. Allahu a'lam. Well, let me take it one after the other. Now, the first question, not beating the child, but giving the child a punishment that should not be physical, or that should not be what, that will not involve physical assault, so to say, maybe a kind of punitive punishment, asking the child to stool down and things like that. Can this be allowed? Yes, this can be allowed. You know, we said that when Thumam bin Uthal was brought, it was tied in the masjid. So this is the kind of little punishment, so to say. So this may be allowed, wallahu a'lam. Now the second question. Now, what if something is found at the door of the masjid? Can one enter the masjid and announce the lost, the found item, so to say? Don't forget, I said some scholars of the opinion that there is no difference between between found and lost items. Both of them should not be announced in the masjid. However, Sayyid Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen alayhi rahmatullah said, if it is an item that is found inside the masjid, one can announce it inside the masjid, because it is found inside the masjid. For something that is found outside the masjid, so bringing it inside the masjid may not be okay. May not be okay. Now it's found at the door of the masjid, let the person announce it at the door of the masjid. That is, we have found so and so, he announced at the door of the masjid, so this is okay. Now, Salatul Jama'ah is not compulsory on women, and it's not compulsory on them to come to the masjid to pray. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَمْنَعُوا إِمَا اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ وَصَلَاتُهُنَّ فِي بُيُوتِهِمْ خَيْرٍ. So, do not prevent the female servants of Allah from coming to the masjid to pray. Praying it at home is better for them. So if they hear the adhan and they leave the masjid, so they have left, because the salah in jama'ah is not compulsory on them. So that hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that was reported by Abu Uraira, likewise the statement of Abu Uraira, amma hadha faqad asa abal qatim, has to do with a male. Has to do with the male, wallahu a'lam. Okay, let's take it one after. Now, we have read and heard that the Messenger of Allah, Allah, whenever he was climbing a hill or a mountain, he would say what? And whenever he was descending, he would say Subhanallah. Can we apply this to the bridges while climbing the bridges or descending from the bridges? Yes, you can watch. You can apply it. But it's not compulsory. Wallahu a'lam. I don't know of that, but you are climbing. It's just like when you are being airlifted, it's going up, so you can say it. So when you're also descending, when the airplane is descending, you can also say it. So now you are climbing a staircase or a step. Can you do that? Wallahu a'lam. It goes. Wallahu a'lam. Now. Wallahu a'lam, al-afu is for when we say afa, that is to cover three trace of something. That is what afu. Why ghufran is to cover the trace may be there, but you won't see it. But al-afu is what to make the thing appear as if there is no watch, there are no traces of that thing. So, but both of them, they are watch, they are still going, they are conveying the same thing. They are conveying the same thing, only from different angle. So, Al-afu is to remove the trace of something. Why al-maghfira is to cover something. So and that's why they refer to this helmet as what nighfar. Nighfar. It covers the head, but the head is still here. But it covers what? The air. It covers the air, it covers the skull, but both of them are still here. But al-afu is to remove the trace of a sin. So Allahu A'lam, they are still what? Referring, still conveying the same thing. So some scholars will try to what, go deep into this, will say something different, this will say something different. So head on to go deep into that because they are not that convinced. Wallahu a'lam. So Allah is Ghafur and is Ghafar and is Afuun. Is Afu. Now. Well, say it again, please. Come again, come. Say it again. She observes things outside the period. Now, a woman sees things outside the period or the time of her menstruation. How should she treat the things that she observes? Here's a big question that will also need some clarifications. When it is the period of the lady, a menstruating woman is either mu'tada or mumayyiza or mubtada'a. Mubtada'a yani bada'a al-hayj. Bada'a al-hayj. She will be what? Mubtada'a. Or you call a mubtadi'a. The one that is starting hajj. Or the one that is what? That is being approached by hajj for the first time. So most of the time they will use the word mubtada'a. So the one that is seen, that is being affected by hajj for the first time. So, or she may be mumayyiza, the one that can differentiate between the blood of hajj and the blood of istihada. Or mu'tada, the one that has an ada. She has the ada, that is a certain number of days that she watched to menstruate. So, if a lady is mu'tada, she has a certain number of days, which may be 4, 5, 6 days, 7 days, 10 days. And after she finishes the menstruation, that is the ada, then she observes spotting again. What are we going to call the spots, the drops that is coming? Are we going to say it is part and parcel of what? Administration or what? I want you to contribute. Are we going to regard it as part and parcel of what? Administration or what do we see?
So he knew that the blood he has recognized the blood of high before. And it is an difference after the middle time. So we find that it's the other. And we retain the body and perform our mission every day.
Now, before we conclude that, we have to look at one thing. To the Jumhur of the scholars, they believe that the maximum day a lady can menstruate is 15 days. So anything after 15 days is istihada. Anything after 15 days is istihada. Is that clear? Let us talk on that. Now she's used to, let's say, 7 days. Now, the spotting that she's observing has gone beyond seven days. The jumhur of the scholars will say she should continue to observe that. If it now exceeds 15 days, then that will be what? That will be istihada. And since she's used to 7 days before, so she will go back to the 7 days. Are you with me? Then she will consider from the 8, 9, 10, like that, till the end, as what is the harder. Is that clear? It's not clear. The jumhur of the scholars, they are of the opinion that a lady cannot menstruate more than 15 days. More than 15 days. Here is a lady that is used to 7 days before. After 7 days, the blood will stop and she will take a bath. She starts praying. The husband can watch, have sex with aunties. But the blood does not stop on the 8th day. She continues to observe some what spots till it gets to watch 15 days, 16 days. So they say that will not be watched, that will not be hide anymore because it has exceeded 15 days. So what is it? They say she's suffering from istihada. Now where are we going to start counting the istihada? They say we'll go back to our ada. So the 7 days will be removed from day 8, 9, 10 to where it starts will be istihada. Is that clear? You know she's not been praying for from the 7 days till the 16, 17 days, she's not been praying. That means she will have to pay back those salawats. And if it is fasting period, maybe in Ramadan for instance, it will be compulsory on her to pay back. Why is she paying back the salah? Because we have started counting it as istihada from what? Though we have considered it to be what hide before. But because it did not stop until what? 16 days. So that's why we are now having a reconsideration. We are not taking it to the what? To be istihada. And in case of istihada, she will have to pray. She take a bath. She will pray and watch. The husband can have sex with her. Is that clear? So she's going to pay back the salah and she's going to pay back the fast as well. Is that clear? Let me finish the explanation. So is that clear? But let's assume that the blood stops on the 15th. Everything will be considered as what? Hajj. That means our period are changed. That is if it stops at 15. But if it doesn't stop at 15, it exists. It goes to 16. So they will take it back to what she used to observe before. Is that clear? And the same thing they will say concerning the one that is mumayiza, the one that can differentiate between the blood of Hajj and the blood that is not blood of Hajj. Take for instance, a lady knows that her blood is blackish somehow, is reddish, or whenever she's menstruating, she'll be feeling pain somewhere. solids or maybe the blood things and things like that. She will be able to differentiate, if she can differentiate between the blood of high from ordinary blood, then the blood does not stop. The blood does not stop. So she will continue like that. But when it exits, what do you call it, 15, it goes to 16, she will go back to what, the 10 years again. Are you with me? So this is what the jumhur of the scholars will say. Jumhur of scholars will say. However, the minority of scholars, like Sheikh Ibn Ibn Taymiyyah Ali Rahmatullah, like Sheikh Al-Albani, Sheikh Ibn Baz Ibn Uthaymeen, Alim Rahmatullah Jami'an, they are of the opinion that La Hadda the Akthar in Hajj. There is no limit for the watch, the Akthar in Hajj, that is the maximum number of Hajj, maximum number of days for Hajj. The only thing is that a lady will not be menstruating throughout the month, throughout her life. So that's not possible. There will be a time that she will be watched, she will be pure. Is that clear? So she will not be menstruating throughout her life or throughout the month. There will be a time that, even if it is 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, that she will be pure. But for us to say 15 days is the maximum, where do we get that? The jumu'ah, they will use a weak hadith to support this. That's one. Two, they will also use the practice, the experience of a lot of women. They claim that they've not seen a woman whose height exceeded 15 days. So if we see anything of such, it should be considered what? Then they said it makes sense. That how can a woman menstruate more than half of her life? She shouldn't be what? She should not be impure for more than half of her life. So they use all this. However, Allah A'lam, the way their opinion is that they've seen women who menstruate 17 days, 20 days, and it's constant like that. Was constant like that, 17 days. So some scholars have seen that, and as our son said, it's 17, should be the maximum. But Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah said, as long as it is his height and it is harder, it is height, it is harder, that is, she can do it 10 years, then it is height. Even if it is 20 days, 25 days, 26 days, how does it play? Some scholars said, oh, we find this position very very strange, because how can a woman stay for 25 or 20 days not praying? So you can see marriage out of half, half acts. But for us to say 20, 25 days. So if you look at it from that angle, you may say, let me go with the book. But when you look at it from an angle of evidence, there is no clear text that says that. So if you want to go by what Ibn Taymiyyah says, everything will be considered as what? As height. Unless if she's sure that it is not height. That is, that blood doesn't look like what? The blood of height. So she can do it 10 years. Then she consider it to be what? Istihadah. Are you with me? So, or she knows the other, but the other is this. She consider it to be what? Istihadah. Now, if you go by the hadith of Habiba, likewise the hadith of Fatima bint Habib Uzaysh. So one would be ada, that of Fatima bint Habib Uzaysh, and that of Ummu Habiba. One will be Ada, the other will be what? The other will be Tabi'iz. Because he said that if it is a dam of Hajj, he said, فَإِنَّهُ أَسْوَدْ يُعْرَفْ أَوْ يَعْرِفْ. That is يُعْرَفْ, it is known. This is Tabi'iz. يَعْرِفْ, it smells. If you take it to be يَعْرِفْ, that is, it smells. يُعْرَفْ is known. So this is for Tabi'iz. But for Ada, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, watch, دَعِ الصَّلَاةَ قَدْرَ أَيَّامِ الَّتِي كُنْتِ تَحِيلِينَ فِيهَا. Leave the salah for the days, number of days that watch, you will do Hajj, that is Ada. Then the remaining one, you consider it to be istihara. You consider it to be what? To be istihara. Then the hadith of Hamnat bint Ujash. That one is like a mubtada'a. She doesn't have, she did not have what Ada, nor did she have what Tabi'iz. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَحَيَّضِي فِي إِلْمِ اللَّهِ سِتَّةً أَوْ سَبْعًا. That is, considered 6 or 7 days to be your days of Hajj. Because she cannot, she couldn't differentiate, and she did not have what Ada. Exactly. So if you want to go by what the Jumu'ah said, you consider what 15 days as your stage. But if it has exceeded 15 days, so definitely you take it back to istihara. But according to Ibn Taymiyyah, we don't say it is istihara direct, unless if the blood does not cease. The blood continues. So she cannot menstruate throughout the month. You say throughout the month she's menstruating. No free period to say what? She will know. In that case, she will use the hadith of what? Hamnat bint Ujash. Or if she has what? An Ada before she go back to the Ada. Or the Tabi'iz. If she can do the Tabi'iz, she does the Tabi'iz. Allahu A'lam, I think that was even Taymiyyah is weighed in terms of evidence. Allahu A'lam. A pregnant woman, does she menstruate? No, no, I'm asking. Does a pregnant woman menstruate? So, majority of the scholars, or a lot of scholars, the pregnant woman can also menstruate. Why? So some scholars, a pregnant woman does not menstruate. And this, wallahu alam, is the stronger of the two opinions. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen and some other scholars, they are of the opinion that a pregnant woman menstruates. Because the basis is that the blood that comes out of the vagina of a lady is what is Hajj, until it is full moon otherwise. So is there a text that says a pregnant woman cannot menstruate? So they say we don't have that text. However, those scholars who say a pregnant woman does not menstruate, they say if a pregnant woman menstruates, that means it will be useless for us to say we want to know that a woman is free. A woman is what? Is free with womb. Because what if a woman is divorced now, for us to know that what the woman can remarry now is when she menstruates. A woman is divorced, she has to wait for what? 3 quru, which is with has to do with what? The menstruation of his thing. So if A pregnant woman can watch menstruate. So what is the essence of using what the height to determine that the womb is free? Do you get it? Likewise, a pregnant a woman, for us to say, okay, maybe a woman whose husband dies, for instance, she waits for how many? 4 months, 10 days. We can't watch the menstruation. If she's pregnant, how many? Until she gives birth. So what we're trying to say is that menstruation shows something. That is, we use it to determine if a woman is pregnant or not. So why would not say a pregnant woman still menstruates? So it is what is useless. This is what the argument of those who say a pregnant woman does not menstruate. So the blood that comes out of the vagina of a pregnant woman, that blood will be treated as dam of attach. That is like istihara. Now, some days to delivery, the woman sees blood. So we are going to consider it to be a dam of attach. But when there is talk, there is labor. The blood that comes out when a woman is in labor, do we give it the ruling of nifas or not? So according to the way their opinion, when a woman is in labor, the blood that comes out at that time is considered what? Damun nifas. Just like the one that comes out after delivery. So we have to go back to this. If the woman sees the blood, that's what. If it is maybe without talk, so it is considered a mufassad and should be prayed. So, Allahu a'lam. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.